Our next speaker is Ole Jørgen Torfmark, a CEO of Digital Radio Norway. He will bring us the latest news from Norway. The switchover process run very well in Norway. The listener figures are good and better than expected. Even the commercial programs gain listeners and revenue. What are the current problems? What are your experiences? Is that all true, what we have heard? Or do I have already problems? We are looking forward, please.
Thank you so much. I'm very glad to be here. Also, sorry that I can't do this in German, but I think it's better I try with English than Norwegian. Yeah, we actually did it. We are finished. We have done the DSO. It's true. It went well. But of course, there are voices that want to make it seem differently. I'm going to run you through some topics here. How we did it, why we did it, some learnings, and of course, some results. Let's start with how. And I think this is very important. The main reason why Norwegian radio industry has been able to carry out the digital switchover is the long-term collaboration between the broadcasters. They have understood that competition happens on content, not distribution. But we have to admit that it has been a bumpy road. It started 22 years ago with just a handful of transmitters. On air, there were less channels than on FM. And you would have a hard time finding DAB radios in the store, and those who existed were extremely expensive. But still, we launched DAB as the future radio. And for the next 15 years, we built some more coverage, we launched a few more stations, and we continued to tell everyone about the benefits of DAB, even though they were hard to find for most Norwegians. With the political plan in 2011, we kind of restarted the whole process. And I can tell you that the German decision in 2011 was very important for our government's decision back then. With clear criteria for FM shutoff, the broadcasters could invest in full coverage and new channels. The electronics trade saw business opportunities, and the message to the listeners became much clearer. So if we could do this again, we would drop what we have called the chicken and egg period and gone straight directly to the digital switchover period. To convey the message about more content and good coverage was the most important thing we could do to capture the interest of the innovators, the heavy users of radio. They were typically the early adapters. Further in the process, pricing and availability of radio sets become more important. And for the latecomers, it has been important to offer help and user guidance. The penetration of DAB receivers have grown continuously since early in the 2000s. Until 2015, the growth in DAB radios were mainly driven by more content and better coverage. But you see the impact of the white paper in 2011 with a clear shutoff plan. From 15 to January last year, many knew that switchover would happen soon and chose digitally when they upgraded their radios. Since the switchoff started a year ago, the late majority and the laggards have bought new radios almost reluctantly. And of course, you see the same pattern in the digital reach among the daily listeners. 2011 was the turning point. To do the shutoff region by region, as we have done, was an easy decision and something we learned from the switchover on TV. It was important for securing enough radios all over the country, especially the car adapters, but also for having the capacity to help anyone who needed it. The hard part was the unsynchronized shutoff where NRK, public service, turned off their FM networks 2 or 3 months ahead of the commercial stations in the most populated regions. This was essential for the private radios to secure their income through the shutoff year. And that worked. The private radios' income were stable and on the same level through 2017 as the year before. IRM, the Institute for Advertising and Media Statistics, also now forecasts a small growth in the revenue for this year. So, to the why. Why did we do it? And what have we achieved? The overall media development has been the cornerstone of the technology shift we have carried out in Norway. And I guess you have some graphs that will show similar development in Germany. Newspaper has had a continuously and dramatic fall since the internet for real made its appearance in the early 2000s. TV and magazines have had a similar decline since mobile internet began to grow from 2010. Radio is characterized first and foremost by being surprisingly stable through all these changes. But in recent years, we see that also radio is starting to lose listeners and listening time as competing digital offerings have continued to grow. With such a development around us, it was unthinkable for Norwegian radio to meet the future with only 5 national radio stations. For in Norway, radio is mainly a national business. And with our topography and scattered population, there was no room on FM for more than 5 channels. The technology shift has made it possible to multiply that offering to the Norwegian population. Now we have 31 channels, and all of them with better coverage. Everyone understands that this is a better place to be. But it can be more difficult to understand why we just can't do both DAB and FM. Why do we have to shut off something that actually works? And this has much to do with costs, of course. First of all, it costs more to make 31 stations than 5. But that's okay. When you're a broadcaster, you are willing to put money into more content, as long as people are using it, of course. But to pay twice is not that exciting, like paying for double distribution, especially in a very cost-demanding country as Norway. Because we have big national networks. Together, our 2 national DAB networks consist of more than 1,200 transmitters. I guess it's almost 1,300 now, and it still grows. The annual costs are at the same level as the sum of the 5 FM networks were. Because we had a plan that, in the end, allowed us to turn off the over 3,000 FM transmitters, it was possible for the broadcasters to commit to a full DAB development and at the same time invest in all the new radio stations. So let me take another perspective as well. Newspapers and televisions have, in their struggle for digitization, I would say, lost their unique characteristics and have ended up as more or less similar services on a general platform. And together with new competitors from all over the world. And on top of that, their old business model no longer work. After all, radio has not changed that much. It's pretty much the same thing. My claim is that the radio industry in Norway has done something other media industries only have dreamt of. They have gone 100% digital, multiplied their capacity, and retained their main business model. And they have secured their competitive advantages over foreign players, which, of course, also is important for Norwegian language and culture. And so why don't we want to change radio too much? That's because the way people are using it. Radio, I used to say, is kitchen and cars. People often forget how radio works and how people are using it. The use of radio as a complementary medium is what makes radio unique. And the broadcast technology, has made that possible. Radio is, of course, content, but the radio experience is all also formed by the way it's distributed and consumed. Together, we call that the radio's DNA. And we wanted to take care of, protect, cherish these features that makes radio being radio when we modernized radio in Norway. This reflects very clearly in the choices people made, both before and when FM disappeared. The vast majority of people still opt for broadcasting, even though Norway is in the forefront in terms of access to internet and devices. DAB, 65% versus internet, 18% of the listening time before the last and biggest switch off. And notice that almost 60% of all listening were digitally already 2 months before the switch off started. Okay, some other learnings. We have big DAB networks with very good coverage all over the country, but they are also quite advanced for both the listeners and receivers. This led to a greater need for consumer information than we expected. And unfinished products reinforced this need. As the first DSO country, we have had a share of products with bad antennas, difficult user interfaces, and without central functionality like service following. Anyone coming after us will have it much easier. Another factor has been the self-installation of aftermarket products. We have spent a lot of resources to inform dealers and workshops. We have visited them all, held courses, and made available online information, brochures, and videos. Today's owners of an in-car DAB solutions are listening more than the average in-car radio listener. A little more than half of all the car owners have DAB, and they account for 2/3 of all the daily listening. So the keenest listeners, the heavy users, upgraded first. And because of that, the mountain of cars in need of conversion was not quite as big and challenging as we feared. But we have a long tail of upgrading before all in-car listeners have found their solutions. The information tasks have gone on for years, of course. But the last 1.5 years, we have been helping listeners on the road all over the country. Our green caravan in the middle there have traveled more than 50,000 kilometers. We have had qualified people in helping teams assisting listeners with all sorts of challenges in front of every switch off. And we have a call center who have answered all kinds of questions on phone, email, or chat. Okay, so till the end, the results. And let me say and underline so far. What has happened with Norwegian radio the last year? Before the 11th of January 2017, all national transmitters were still on air. 12 months after, all were shut off. In the beginning of January 2017, there were 10.1 million radio sets we could use to listen to national radio, including 2.9 million cars. 1 year later, all FM-only radios were useless for national radio listening. Now we have 5.6 million radios, including 1.6 in cars. Mathematically, the listening figures should have been down with almost 50% as well. But they were only down 1.8 percentage points, or 44,000 persons per week, when we look at January 2017, towards a year before. But daily listening is down 10.9 percentage points. And the difference between the small decrease in weekly listening and the fall in daily listening indicates that even though most listeners have bought one or two radios, many still need more time to buy radio number 2, 3, 4, and for so to keep up their old listening habits. 44,000 persons are a lot of people, but it also reflects a fantastic effort from the listeners in general, preparing themselves for the switchover. 98% of the weekly listeners have already followed through the biggest technology shift in the history of radio. And during last year, Norwegians bought 2.4 million DAB radios during the DSO period. That's equivalent to half of the population buying one each, or all households. And people are still buying and still finding new digital ways to listen to radio. The point with the digital switchover was not to replace a technology. The goal was to strengthen radio's position and ensure that the listeners receive a product they love every day. NRK P1 was perhaps the most popular, or at least most used, radio station in the world in relation to the population. And we could say the same about P4, probably the biggest commercial station. Don't misunderstand me. These stations are great and they have done a fantastic job, but people did not have much to choose from. So now we see what happens when people have a better offering. 69.5% of the populations are weekly tuning into one or several of the five old stations. 58.9% listens to some of the new stations. And in share of total listening time, more than one-third of all listening happens now on the new stations already. And just 22.5% listened only to the old stations. In terms of age profile, we also see big differences between the traditional stations and the new ones. Even though three of the new stations are targeting elderly people, these stations as a group have a younger profile. There has also been a change the last year regarding the geographical profile of the listeners to the new stations. We see the results of the whole country having a better radio choice. And especially for NRK as the public broadcasters, it has been a very important goal to reach the whole country with all their content. The new radio market has changed the way we think of new stations and what it takes to change listening habits. The last 3 months, two stations have been very successful with seasonal content. P7, as a 100% Christmas station in December, was some days the second largest stations in the country. And during the days of the Olympic Games, not perhaps that surprisingly in Norway, NRK Sport was number three. So, yes, we have had a small drop in the listening after FM shut off, as expected. A bigger drop for daily than weekly listening, first of all, because people still lack some radios in the car, in their bedrooms, in their cabin. For 2017, in total, the fall was 3 percentage points among the weekly listeners. If we compare radio and TV for the last 2 years, it is interesting to see that TV has the same or worse development without switching off their main distribution platform. So, the Norwegian radio industry did not carry out the DSO to gain listeners or income in the short term, but to keep and retain them in the long run. I think we passed that. And I just want to say to the end, we truly believe that radio now is fit for the future and have a much stronger position in the coming years of competition with other media channels, digital media channels. The DSO has been a success, but we recognize that this year and perhaps next year will pass before all listeners are fully digitally settled. Thank you.
Jørgen, thank you very much for these very interesting figures and fit for the future. Radio is fit for the future in Norway. We will achieve that perhaps in Germany as well. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.